Now we're going to read in the Bible. Let's turn to Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17. If you're familiar with a preacher in the New Testament called the Apostle Paul, we're going to listen to him preach a message. And it's a message that was preached in the first century. That's like over 2,400 years ago. And we're going to discover that the very same message is valid today. So it's very, very interesting that we pay attention. Look at Acts chapter 17. I want you to notice verse number 16. This sets the backdrop of the story. Now, while Paul waited for them at Athens, that's Athens, Greece, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. That phrase means there were idols everywhere. Stone idols, wooden idols, metal idols, everywhere. Verse 17. Therefore, disputed or reasoned he in the synagogue, that would have been where a lot of Jewish people met, with the Jews and with the devout persons, and in the markets daily with them that met with him. Then certain philosophers, we would call them brain boxes today, these people that thought they knew so much, they were smarter than the Word of God. Then certain philosophers of the Epicureans and of the Stoics encountered him, and some said, listen, what will this babbler say? That was a very insulting statement. You ever look out your window and see a bird picking seed? Little insects? That's what the word means. They looked at this man that served to preach the Bible, and they were like, ha ha, what's the babbler going to say? Well, I want you to listen to what the seed picker said, because it's very important. He seemeth to be a setter forth of strange gods, because he preached unto them Jesus, I love it, and the resurrection. And they took him and brought him onto Areopagus. That's quite a center now. That's quite a council. We'll touch on that in a minute. Saying, may we know what this new doctrine whereof thou speakest is. For thou bringest certain strange things to our ears. We would know, therefore, what these things mean. For all the Athenians, now this is the whole town, and strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious. That word too superstitious means much given over to idol worship. He could see it. It was everywhere. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, objects of worship, these idols, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship. Now I want you to notice, him declare I unto you. God, notice that, that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he, notice that, is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelling not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if happily they might feel after him, notice the singularity, and find him, though he be not far from every one of us, for in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold and silver and stone, graven by art and man's device. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, appointed, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. I love how he ends where he started, Jesus and the resurrection. And he comes right back to that again. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked. And, oh, listen to this. And others said, we will hear thee again of this matter. So Paul departed from among them. Howbeit, certain men clave unto him and believed. Isn't that lovely? Among the which was Dionysus the Areopagite, and a woman named Demarius, and others with them. Fascinating story. When Paul preached the gospel in the first century, you're going to get the very same response today when you preach the gospel. There's going to be some that will believe, and there's going to be others that will mock. The question tonight is, what will you be? Will I believe the message, or will I mock the message? There's nothing in between. What is amazing about this story is where it took place. Athens, Greece. Now, to us reading this, if you don't spend any time studying it, doesn't mean a whole lot. Oh, big deal. Yeah, Athens, Greece. Well, who was the power that was in at this point? The Romans. That's right. They were the world power. Who was the world power before Rome? The Greece Empire. Aha. Athens was the capital of the Greece Empire. Do you want to know what Athens was to the Greece Empire? When Greece stretched from sunrise to sunset, they thought, nobody can move us. We have conquered the world. We're at the peak. And we're going to build this city called Athens. And we're going to put this tremendous council in it. And it's going to be the apex of man's intellect. You ever notice there's a pair of jeans that you can buy called Faded Glory? How long did man last in Greece? Oh, they peaked. But then Rome came in power. And they went down. And here is Paul standing in a city that represented the best that man could produce. You see, dear friend, this is why we read from the Bible. There is nothing that will ever eclipse the Word of God. Nothing. It doesn't matter if we're allowed to live on this planet for another 2,000 years. Science is never going to come to a point where they go, aha, we have factored God out of the equation. We don't need him. That is Athens. You want to know what Athens taught? That the man that produced this council, he actually came up with this phrase. Listen to it. Man is the measure. We don't need God. We are the measure. We are the ones that determine what's right and what's wrong. We are the ones that can determine our destiny. We are the ones. Man is the measure. What does the preacher do? What does the babbler do? You got to remember where he was. These people were so educated. They were philosophers. They spent their entire day Every time they met somebody, every time they heard something new, it was like, we got to keep accumulating knowledge. You ever sometimes feel embarrassed talking to somebody who's a PhD? I do. I barely made it out of school. I'm a very simple man, but here's what I know. I'm going to be in heaven when I die. I know, based on the Bible, that Jesus Christ died for my sin. I know, based on the Bible, that I will never be in hell. That's wonderful. I'm a very simple person. I'm not educated. But I know what this man is preaching about. And you know what Paul did when he stepped into this city? You want to know the very first place where he started? Do you notice how many times he mentioned God? And how many times he used the singular pronoun, he, him. Do you know why he did that? These people believed in a multiplicity of gods. There were gods everywhere. Gods of their own making. They didn't believe in one God. No. That was archaic. No. Monotheism? Oh, no. We believe in polytheism. All kinds of gods. Listen, friend. The same thing is happening in this world today. There's all kinds of gods made by people. Do you know what the Bible teaches? Just one God. And guess what Paul does once he starts to introduce them to one God? Guess what he does? Did you get the phrase, from one blood? You know what he did there? He went right back to the book of Genesis, where the one God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. You see, another thing that these people taught and believed was, well, back then they called it materialism, but today we have a better name for it, evolution. Oh, everything just random. Accidents. It's just enough time. They believed that back then. And this little gospel preacher, literally, I like to look at this man, it's just like a big stick of dynamite. He just stepped right into all of this so-called education and all of these different idols. You can see him looking around the city and a god to this and a god to that and a god for this, a god for everything. And he just looked at those people and he said, listen, people, there's one God. Do you know that? Listen to the word. Listen to the word of God. 1 Timothy chapter 2. One God. One mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. See, we're not here tonight to sort of, now how can we get you to join the Gospel Hall in the Larry? Gospel Hall in the Larry can take no one to heaven. Oh, Gospel Hall in the Larry cannot stop anyone from going down to hell because of their sin. We're here to introduce you to the only person who can. His name is Jesus Christ. Our brother read the verse. The Lord Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come unto the Father except by me. So friend, are you saved? Do you know this one God? My message tonight, are you sitting there going, yes, I know this. This is right. This is according to the word of God. Friend, it's a real thing to be saved, a real thing to know heaven is your home. I'm 59. When I was 24, I discovered that I was a sinner going to hell. I discovered on April the 4th, 1990, a Wednesday afternoon, that Jesus Christ died for my sin. And for the last 35 years, it's almost hard to believe, a conscious knowledge, I'll be in heaven when I die. 3 weeks ago tomorrow, Monday, my wife's mother passed away at 95. She was a Christian. She could take you back to a time in her life when, after the birth of her seventh child, she had medical complications in the hospital. And she was sitting in the hospital bed with the Bible. She was reading John chapter 10. And the Lord Jesus in John chapter 10 and verse 9 said these words, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved." And you know what she realized sitting in the bed? I might die here. And I'm not ready. I say thank God for medical emergencies. Thank God for medical complications that woke the woman up. And as we just put her body in the ground. I love that verse that my brother read in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. What a comfort knowing she was Dutch. Oma. I called her Oma. She's in heaven. Doesn't matter where she went on Sunday. But what does matter? She found Jesus Christ as her Savior. This is why Paul is preaching. This man, Paul, is only, did you get it at the first? He's looking at this city and it bothered him. This is sad. Look at these people. Look, they're diligent. My land, look at all the energy and the money they've spent to build all these idols. And listen, friend, do you understand what Paul was doing? Paul was only reflecting the concern of God for sinners. The God of the Bible. This one God that has created human. God did not create humans to land in hell. That is not the God of the Bible. The devil has come in and he's caused man and woman to go down an awful road of sin and destruction. God wants to rescue you from your sins. He's not into giving you religion. This is not about religion. This is not about, okay, I was brought up this way. I'm going to join the gospel hall and start to live this way. I'll give you just a little inside information. If you would like to join the gospel hall, do you know what the first question they'll ask you? When were you saved? If you're unable to answer that, you can't join the gospel hall. And if you say, I'm saved, they're going to ask you, how did it happen? Take me back. Take me to the place where it happened. That's what we're interested in here. We want to meet people and tell them there's a Savior that wants to save you. That's it. We're not after your money. We're not after your membership. We're not after anything from you. Friend, we want to represent a God that is giving. God wants to give you eternal life. And here's this man, Paul. And I just would have loved to have been in this audience. I would have been the one going, yes, get at it. Keep going, keep going. Wonderful to hear a man that's so clear and plain, and he's not intimidated by it. And as they're listening, wow, there were people that were affected. They were. Oh, some mocked. Yep. Others believed. Same thing happens today. And there is Paul. He's almost like he's just going point for point through all of their idolatry. You know, that's an amazing thing, isn't it? Here was a city that was full of idols. Now think about it. Here's a city of people that are so educated, okay? Intellect coming out their ears, we would say. Yet Paul noticed, look at that. There's one idol with no name on it. Here's what's underneath it. To the unknown God. You know what that proves to me? Religion will never satisfy. It will leave you empty. Those people with all of their religion, idols, they still realize we're missing something. We better encapsulate it in to the unknown God. We don't know what it looks like. We don't know who it is, so we're just going to make some sort of an idol, a lump, and we're going to say, to the unknown God. You know, dear friend, I want you to get this. I told you 35 years ago I met the Lord Jesus as my personal Savior. I've never once in 35 years, I wonder if there's another one. I am so content. I'm so happy. I know God's Son as my Savior. It's a beautiful thing. Older you get, you just love going to bed. That's great. And you just lay your head on your pillow and you turn the light out and you close your eyes and I just start speaking to God. I just thank Him for His Son. Oh God, I'm so thankful that I'm saved. That little heart, if it stopped, I'll be in heaven with you. Are you saved? Do you know this one that Paul's preaching about? And there he just keeps going. And then this, you can almost see the temperature rising as he's moving through this little preach that he's having here. And can you imagine this point when all of a sudden he gets to this point? God commends every man everywhere to repent. I'm sure their eyes went, repent? You mean we're wrong? That's what's behind repentance. You're wrong. Us with all our education. Us, Athens, the brining, shining light of the world. We're at the peak of intelligence, man, don't you know? We determine what's right and wrong. Why do we got to repent? Because, friend, only God determines what's right and wrong. Have you listened to so-called intelligent people today that try to tell you that sin is okay? It's going to take you to hell. Man does not determine what's right and wrong, good and evil. God does. This would have blown these people out of their seat. How dare you tell us that there is an eternal God that dictates right and wrong? You're sitting there going, wow, whew, we didn't really expect this. This is intense. Friend, listen. Hell is real. You want to be right. Okay? Whatever you're resting on when you step across death into eternity, out into God's abode, whatever you're resting on tonight, you want to make sure that it's the Lord Jesus. Can you imagine? I think that is probably the greatest point in his message where it just caused them to this guy's crazy. Well, you know what? You do have a choice. God has not made us to be robots. Whenever you get in your car tonight, you know what? You have a choice to obey those speed limits or not. They weren't set by you. And you can get all frustrated and you can put on the radio that song years ago called I Can't Drive 55 and you can drive 75. What are you doing? You're opening up yourself to being caught. And the cop passing you the ticket is not going to care what song you're listening to. That's just a small picture. Dear friend in the meeting, don't fight against the one true God. Don't. I want you to take this story. Go home and read it if you want to. Acts 17 again. And what a wonderful thing if as you were reading it, you were like, wow, I've been thinking wrong. God is not the way I think. No, there's the God of the Bible. That's it. And you know another thing I find interesting? In the backdrop of the Greece Empire that fell and the Roman Empire came on, Paul not only told them about a God that has created the world, a God that has created humanity, but did you get this expression? And has determined the times and the boundaries. You know, they used to teach this. Those that there were groups that did believe in God. And you remember as a kid, you used to have these spring-loaded tops, probably dating myself now, and you twist it up and you'd put it on the table and it would go, and you just sort of stood back and you watched it spin away until it ran out of energy. You know, there were people that taught that was God. Whoever it was, he just turned the world and just let it spin. And whatever happens, happens. You know what Paul reminded them of? God is very involved in the world. Take all the nations of the world. Who was it that allowed Greece to come up in power? It was God. Who was it that brought Rome onto the scene and allowed them to conquer Greece? It was God. Think of our mighty neighbors to the South America, presently the world power. Who's put them there? God. Who'll take them out? God. Nothing's out of control. God is the one in control. Friend, are you saved? Are you ready to meet him? That's why his son is so important. What a wonderful thing if tonight you understood, I need to repent. I have sin in my life, and I need the Savior that God is offering. Thanks for listening. We'll pray. Father, we bless thee again for thy son, the Lord Jesus. What a marvelous thing that we're able to take his name upon our lips. We think of many today that would have taken the name Lord Jesus Christ in blasphemy. They would have swore, but we are thankful for what the Bible teaches us about that beautiful name. We think of the beautiful person that is behind that name, the only person who was willing and able to die for our sin. We're thankful that the story doesn't end there. Paul would remind them of this one who was resurrected from the dead. They thought that was absolutely ludicrous. But we think of the truth of the Bible, a man that went into death and has come right out of death. And he lives tonight, willing and able to save all that will come to him. So we pray for those in the meeting that are not saved. May they turn to the Savior and trust him as their own personal Savior. We commit our ways to thee in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.